Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. Today's Issues is the name of this program here on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and Fred, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
Got the short sleeve Paisley going.
Short sleeve Paisley, yes.
Going today. Well, we have a guest.
Yes, we do.
You want to say?
Sure. A good friend of the ministries, Gary Bauer, joins us today, and we wanted to ask him about a couple things. First of all, good morning, Gary. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you guys.
It's with me and Tim and Ed and Fred are here.
I'll tell you. Yeah, I should have prepared. This could get ugly.
We'll give you a second to get your lawyer on the line if you need him.
I don't think you're supposed to start with me. You said me and Tim.
Me and Tim?
I don't think so, but I could be wrong.
My English teacher is going to be on the line next. Yeah. Let's. While we got you, Gary,
yes.
We wanted to ask you, we saw a picture I saw coming out of the Oval Office last night of you and a number of other evangelical leaders, Christian leaders, surrounding President Trump and praying with him. Tell me about that meeting.
Yeah, thank you for asking. Look, there's a faith office in the Trump administration. That's been the case for many of the recent presidents. I got to tell you guys, I've been around for a long time. This time, this faith office reports directly to the president. And it has more authority and a broader mandate than any previous faith office that I've seen. So I was invited to come over and meet with that faith office along with another dozen leaders that were all part of the beginning of the Trump Faith Advisory Group a number of years ago. So we're having the meeting. It was a real meeting in the Eisenhower Executive Office Building. And during the meeting, somebody comes in and passes a note to Pastor Paula White informing us that the president wanted us to come over and see him in the Oval Office. So we were taken over there. We waited for about an hour. There was a lot going on in the White House yesterday because of a number of reasons. I was actually waiting right outside the Oval Office. The rest of the group was waiting in the lobby. So while I was there, I'm talking to cabinet members and all kinds of people about faith, family, and freedom. So I was in seventh heaven. But then they told us we could all come in, and we walked into the Oval Office, and the president spent 20 minutes with us. I wish everybody could be in one of those meetings. He's totally relaxed, confident. The issue of prayer came up. He wanted us to pray for him, and I can tell you he needs it given the pressure he's under. And then after that, as we were getting ready to leave, he said, you know, I've got a few more minutes, and the President of the United States took time to have an individual conversation with each one of us and an individual photo with each one of us. It was really, I've been around for a long time. This was much different than the sort of dog and pony shows that I've been in over the years.
Gary, you said that the authority or the purpose of the faith advisors is different this time. Is it different than the first administration? And can you outline just a couple of things that it does that are in its purview?
Yes. Even in the first administration, the president has about a 25-year friendship with Paula White, as does the whole Trump family. So there was that unique situation where she could get through to the president. But the faith office itself had all kinds of hoops it had to jump through, which is really what the situation usually is, before specific policy ideas could reach the president's desk. This time, the faith office reports directly to the president.
Wow.
Which really is, I mean, I know I'm talking a lot of bureaucraties things here, but that's, I've never heard of anything like that. And the mandate that he gave the faith office, I was looking at it again this morning, strengthening marriage and family, lifting up individuals through work and self-sufficiency, defending religious liberty, combating anti-Semitic, anti-Christian, and additional forms of anti-religious bias, promoting the sanctity of life. It just goes on and on. So I can't get into the details, but I can tell you with certainty that in the next 12 to 18 months, we are going to see announcements made that I think will cheer the heart and soul of virtually every Christian in America.
Talking to Gary Bauer. Gary lives in the Washington, D.C. area. I'm Tim with Ed, Fred, and Steve. And Gary, wanted to ask you, changing topics, to the Department of Education, because President Trump announced he wanted to close it down, which we're all cheering here, and I know you are too.
Yeah.
This goes all the way back to President Reagan, his desire to close it down. Of course, that hasn't happened all these decades, but now there's a real possibility that it will happen. So people may say, Gary, what's wrong with you people? You're not for education? We need a Department of Education. Tell our listeners why having a federal Department of Education doesn't enhance our educational system in this country.
Yes, you know, Tim, what you've asked is exactly why we still have the department. Politicians have been afraid to abolish it because they know their political opponents will run against them and say, he's not even for the education
right.
of your children. He got rid of the department. So the Federal Department of Education does not educate one child, and it does not run one school. In fact, there was no Federal Department of Education all the way up until 1979. And that's when Jimmy Carter established it. And it only passed the Senate, as I recall, by one vote. And what they did was take programs that were in other departments, like higher education loans and grants, for example. They took that out of a different department and put it in the Department of Education. That department has become a gigantic bureaucracy. When I was there, it had a budget of about $17 billion. It's up over $100 billion now. In fact, I think it might be approaching $200 billion, and it does not do one thing that helps American education. In fact, at the time the department was created, till now, educational performance in America has fallen every year. So we now have a bureaucratic disaster on our hands, and what the president wants to do is take the money in that department, turn it back over to local school districts and to parents themselves, and let parents and local school districts make the decisions about how our children are educated.
That sounds like a great idea, Gary. Local is always usually better. We're talking also about a bill that's under consideration in Illinois that would clamp down on homeschooling to a terrifically horrific degree. The state could come to your door and check out your curriculum. Is getting rid of the Department of Education, does it take away a tool for us to maybe stop things like that?
Yeah, so here's a little bit of a dilemma. If the Department of Education is in the hands of conservatives, that is, there's a conservative president, a conservative secretary of education like Bill Bennett, and I was undersecretary at the time, we might be able to stop the state of Illinois doing what they're trying to do. But we generally are not in control of that department. On a day-to-day basis, it's the left-wing bureaucrats that we're all familiar with. And what we've seen more and more is that those bureaucrats force every school district in America to do the kind of stupid things that the folks in Illinois are trying to do right now.
Okay.
Stupid.
Mom told me not to use that word,
yeah,
Gary. I'm sorry.
Well, sometimes it is the only thing that gets the job done.
That's right.
Yeah, we try to be a little more, have more decorum, Gary, but You want to use the word?
Okay, I take it back.
Yeah, we're real sensitive about that.
Questionable things like Illinois is trying to do right now.
No,
I go.
No,
I
they're
go,
stupid.
I vote
they're stupid, and I don't think it's going to work because if it passes, I think it'll be held unconstitutional.
I would hope.
And for the homeschooling, homeschoolers there in Illinois will fight it. But that's what these left-wing bureaucrats want to do. They want to go into people's homes and say, what are you teaching your kids? You can't teach them that. And that's their desire. All right. Go ahead.
You know, I have said before that if we really want to get rid of the Department of Education in Washington, the best way to do it would be to make it do conservative things.
Right.
That's a very good point. Duly noted. Well, thank you, Gary, for being on with us, and appreciate your work there in our nation's capital.
Well, it's mutual. It's always great to be with you. Thank you all for what you do to keep Americans up to date and educated about the great battle going on in our country.
Hey, did you meet my son, Walker? He was at the meeting on whenever that was, Tuesday?
I was not at the Tuesday meeting. This meeting was on Wednesday. I'm sorry I missed that.
Okay. Well, he was at the Tuesday meeting with Paula White and Tim Clinton and those folks at the faith Walker was. And then, but the prayer meeting was at the Oval Office was Wednesday, right? Yesterday.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. So how much does Walker need to pay to get in for the next, next prayer? It's not a pay-per-play.
Just have him give me a call.
Okay.
I'm sure we can work
something
out.
Gary knows some people. All right, thank you, Gary. Appreciate it.
Okay, God bless. Okay.
All right.
Walker did go. Walker Wildman did. He's VP here, one of our VPs, and he did go to D.C.
He was invited.
He was invited. Yes, I was invited. But I valued our listening audience on Tuesday more than going to the I'm stuck right.
Yeah, you're stuck because you just don't care.
I don't
about
know who
traveling
to pick. Do I pick the president or I pick our
listeners? You've listened for whatever it is, 40 years or something.
I'm tired of traveling.
You've traveled
unless I want
you've
to
got, you've met President Trump, you shook
have.
His hand
been to the White House,
been to the White House, and so it I is hadn't. Time to let some of the young folks
go,
get them go.
That's
let
right
them go.
Really, after you now, I do. Don't get me wrong. I do enjoy traveling, still today, when I want to.
Right.
Okay. Or something I want to go see and do.
Yeah.
But just traveling for business meetings and so forth and like that.
You're
no interest. No interest. My interest level is very low.
Yes.
Very low.
So low you wouldn't believe it.
So I did. I was invited to go, but. And it wasn't to go meet with the president this time. It was to go meet with people who are in that faith office that Gary was talking about to hear what they're doing and so forth. And but Walker got to go, and he was a good representative for our for our ministry there. And they are doing very important work. You know, Paula White is the she's been a longtime personal friend of President Trump's. That's how she's – and it's President Trump's pick.
Yes, okay. She was born in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Nobody votes on this.
Right.
This is whoever Trump wants to be in charge. Right.
Yes.
It's pretty much how he operates on
who he trusts.
Yes. Yes.
Who he knows.
What were you saying about Paula White?
I looked her up when Gary mentioned her. I thought she was from Mississippi. She was actually born here in Tupelo, where our flagship station is. I didn't know that.
There were a number of our friends in that prayer meeting. Robert Jeffress was praying in the one that I. Picture I saw David Barton tweeted out about being there, and I saw Sammy Rodriguez was behind the president too. So a number of people that we
now had I been invited to go into the Oval Office and pray for the president, I would have said yes, but all those people you just mentioned are friends of mine, and I didn't get a call.
So much for being a friend.
Well, I'm not saying it, you said it, Steve. I'm gonna have to question these fellows. How come all you guys went and nobody called me? You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Make you wonder. That would make you wonder how good of friends are these people, really. So we'll have to, but that's a topic for another day, and probably not one I should discuss on national radio.
It's too late now for that. So why don't you just guys, let your bitterness spill out?
Why don't you
out?
Guys talk amongst yourselves? And I'm going to text Robert Jeffers right now.
Say what's up?
What's up? Where were you Wednesday?
What's up, Bob?
Oh, I was just traveling. Really? Where were you at the White House with President Trump? Oh, really? Well, I didn't get the invite.
Yeah, I must have missed it.
What? Yeah, I must have missed it. Did you send it to me?
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Fred, there was a breaking story you wanted to mention.
Yeah, I think most people remember the pictures and even the video of that Delta Airlines plane that crashed in Toronto. It was coming in for the landing.
Yes.
Hit hard on the right
hand
side.
Turned upside down, didn't it?
And then ended up flipped upside. The good news coming out of it is all 80 people on board were able to get out, because when the wing broke off, the fire was in the wing. However.
Is that the one that flipped over?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. However, the breaking news is that a preliminary report on this crash has just been released from the Transportation Safety Board of Canada. As I said, the crash was in Toronto. They say there was no final cause of the crash in the report, but they note that the main landing gear on the right side broke and collapsed on impact. Here's the part of the story that may get a lot of reaction. The first officer, who was in her fifth straight day of flying, was at the controls of the plane, according to the report. She had 1,422 hours of flying total, which is below the Federal Aviation Administration minimum to be a commercial pilot. This is a story from ABC News I'm reading. She was able to fly commercially with a special exception from the FAA because she had a specific aviation degree and received a waiver, the report said.
Waiver?
Yes.
So is that a DEI hire?
Well,
that's what it sounds like.
This is going to be the story coming out of this. Why was she allowed to fly with the amount of hours she had, which is below the FAA minimum to be a commercial pilot? And why did she get the waiver?
Yeah, that's going to be the important question. I have no problem with women pilots.
Of course not.
If they're qualified.
Yes.
If they were hired because they're qualified. If they are flying because they're qualified. If they are following the same rules that apply to everybody else. In other words, your first 3 years in, you've got to be a co-pilot. You can't be the lead pilot. And why were you given a waiver? If you were given a waiver because the Biden administration is wanting to show that we are open to women pilots, that's wrong.
Yeah.
You should be qualified. It's not like we're talking about you working at a computer, okay, where you can say, well, we wanted to hire a few more women. Okay, well, that's fine. This is someone flying a plane with people on it that are trusting that the pilots are qualified to do what they're doing. Yeah. So, we do need to wait and see what the answers to those questions are, but I think we all know flying a plane's not the place to play games,
no.
DEI or otherwise.
No,
I don't know. My sources are telling me that the female co-pilot was screaming at the pilot that there was a plane putting on its brakes about 4 miles ahead, and that upset her, but maybe not.
Well, and that
you guys,
the man pilot,
you guys are on your own, by the way, on this one.
The male pilot was going to park over in this area, and the female pilot said, no, look, there's a spot closer.
That's right. The gate closer.
Did you see there was a video of Alec Baldwin, the actor?
I saw that.
And his wife.
I saw that.
I forgot. What's his name? Hilaria. Anyway, he and his wife, they were on the red carpet for something.
Yeah. Her movie, I think.
Her movie.
One of her.
Anyway, so she's doing an interview with a reporter about her movie or whatever like that. And he starts talking. Alec Baldwin, and she turns around and tells him to shut up, didn't she? In front of the whole world.
Did she put use her, those words?
She put her hand up.
She put her hand up.
You're not talking.
Maybe she
I'm
did,
talking
maybe,
now.
No, maybe she didn't say shut up, but that what in essence what she was saying. Put her hand up. I'm talking now?
Yeah.
Are you talking up or something like that? Anyway, I don't think it was staged.
No.
Alec Baldwin's face was like a lot of men I've seen.
This is from page 6 for the New York Post. The former yoga instructor was chatting with Extra about the future of their family's reality show, The Baldwins, at Planet Hollywood's reopening in New York City when her husband chimed in. It's going to be great, he said to his wife. You're a winner. And then she that's when she said, when I'm talking, you're not talking.
That's never happened before.
Right.
She said, when I'm talking, you're not talking. No. When right. I'm talking, you're not talking, she repeated.
Basically, what accent did she use?
I know, right?
I know. But was she's funny. Improperly named. She is nothing hilarious about her.
She sent Alec, basically she sent him to the doghouse
and
in front of the whole
he
world.
He said, I'm sorry. He got some rough treatment.
Alec Baldwin getting contrite.
She just better be glad he didn't have a gun.
Anyway,
there were some people who said it's about time someone put that wise guy in his place. But man, for your wife to do that.
In front of the whole world?
In front of the whole world.
Yeah. All right. Basically, we'll sit down and shut up.
I don't take that from my wife.
No,
I'm just going to tell you. Yeah. She happens to be babysitting the grandkids and not listening to the show.
Right.
But that has nothing to do with what I'm saying. I am the man of the house.
Right.
And I am treated with respect.
Hey, you're getting a text right now.
Oh, okay. Hang on. I got to take this.
Hey, we got two or three minutes left here. What do you want to talk about, Steve?
It's interesting. The astronauts that were stranded on the space station have been returned. They splashed down yesterday. And there's a lot of people are noticing the effect of space on, particularly on Sunny Williams, the woman. The same stuff happened to the man, but it's less noticeable. She went into space, and you said she looked like a 30-year-old when she left. She's looking like a grandma of about 70 when she returned.
30.
Gray hair.
If that indeed, we have pictures in the studio here that Steve brought, and before and after. This is, if that is indeed a recent picture, as in the last couple of years.
That is not her. That is not her picture when she went up. That's her picture when she became an astronaut.
Okay, that's what I thought. So that's but still.
You know, you could clearly see some degradation in terms of appearance.
Yeah, her hair got grayer.
Yes.
Her skin, with all due respect, became more weathered. You could see it. So the point is that being up in zero gravity for 9 months, and did you know they experienced like 16 sunrises a day?
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, the psychological and physical wear and tear on these two astronauts, we're thankful that they're home.
Yeah.
But they got a long road ahead, it appears to me.
I think there's some radiation that gets to them that doesn't quite get through our atmosphere as well.
That makes sense.
And they didn't sign up for that. They signed up for 8 days.
Right.
And they stayed 9 months.
Did you say 16 sunrises a day?
I think that's right. Yeah.
I think we should put some hens up there because we get 16 eggs a day. That's where they lay.
Well, maybe we need to put some chickens into outer space.
Maybe they'll lay more. Experiments that she was.
That's the answer.
What was the muffins? Pigs in space. Put the chickens.
Pigs in space.
Chickens are going like, man, didn't we just lay an egg? Good night. That was two
it's
hours
morning
ago.
Again?
What? Where are we?
I want more money.
Oh, all right.
That's funny.
We are out of time. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
I love you, sweetie.
Yeah, thank you.
My wife.
You're on your own on that
you're
one.
Married. Please.
I want to talk to you. Like that.
Thank you. Thanks to Ed and Fred and Brent Creeley, our producer, Gary Bauer, Jan Markell, and Chris Woodward. Thank to everybody. I'd like to thank the Academy.
Do you thank Brent?
Yes, huh?
Thank Brent.
I want to thank Alec Baldwin for shutting up. And we'll see you back here tomorrow for Trivia Friday.